This is a busy time of the year for my wife Lydia because she's an avid gardener. She likes to get in our backyard and make things grow. It seems to me that she particularly likes fruit-bearing trees, as we have several blueberry, blackberry bushes, as well as a couple apple trees, a couple of plum trees, and a pear tree in our average size backyard. Now, growing fruit-bearing plants is not only a great hobby, but you also get the benefit of eating the good produce that you have been taking care of. Fruit is a word that is used throughout the Bible, from Genesis in the beginning all the way to the end of the book of the Bible in Revelation. And it's used in both a literal and a figurative form. Literally, fruit described in the Bible describes the mature, edible product of the plant, the fruit to eat, like an apple, a grape, orange, etc. But figuratively, using fruit in the Bible, we run across various terms like the fruit of the womb, describing offspring, children, and also like the result of an action, such as the fruit of one's deeds. Now let me ask a question. Why is fruit such an important topic for us, for each and every one of us as disciples? Well, the reason why fruit is important for us is because as disciples, we must continue to go forward in growth, spiritual growth, because God wants us to be fruitful, spiritually speaking. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 to begin the sermon this afternoon. We'll go to the beginning. Of course, you know, Genesis 1 is describing the creation week, where God created everything, including the plants and animal life on this earth, and also created man. And we're going to pick it up in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And we'll read verses 27 and 28. And we're going to read a special commission that God gave to mankind. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse number 27. We read, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." And then we come to verse number 28 and we read this special commission that God gave to mankind. Verse 28, "Then God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Notice here in verse number 28, we read, "And God said to them," to the male and female that he had created. He didn't speak to the animal creation. He spoke to man and woman, and he blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." God desires for his people to be fruitful and to be productive. Actually, in the first part of the book of Genesis, three times we come across this commission where God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Now, when we consider the term to be fruitful in the Bible, God wants us to be productive physically, to expand throughout the earth. But there's many scriptures, especially in the New Testament, regarding being fruitful, where it means to be productive spiritually as well. So there's the physical aspect of being fruitful, to be productive physically, expanding throughout the earth, families growing, but also being fruitful spiritually speaking as well. Going back to verse number 28 in the first part, we see that God blessed them and told them to be fruitful. So being fruitful is connected to or tied in with God's blessing. And fruitfulness and increase depend upon the blessing of God. But also, Being fruitful is not an identifying sign of a disciple. Turn with me to John chapter 15, and we'll see where Christ, as he was speaking to the disciples, showed them that being fruitful was an identifying sign of a disciple. It's actually what we could call a definition of a disciple. John chapter 15, of course, where Christ was walking with the disciples and teaching them after they had left the upper room, exhorting them and teaching them. John chapter 15, where he stresses being attached to him, being attached to the vine. John chapter 15, and let's read verse number 8. Again, he's addressing the disciples that he was walking along with as they were on the road to Gethsemane. And he also is addressing us as disciples as well. Verse number 8. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's a very important statement there that we're reading. God is glorified. My Father is glorified that you disciples, bear much fruit. And then he says this in the last part of verse number 8. So will you be my disciples. If we're bearing fruit, we are his disciples. It's an identifying sign of a disciple to bear fruit. Let's drop down to verse number 8:16. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you, you disciples, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Christ is saying that he chooses disciples and appoints them that they should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. In other words, that it should continue on throughout your life. Stay or be a very part of your life. Now let me ask a question. Are we, you and I, fulfilling Christ's commission for us, and are we bearing fruit in our lives? The title of today's sermon is, Bearing Much Fruit as Disciples of Christ. Bearing much fruit as disciples of Christ. Today let's examine three keys to producing spiritual fruit as disciples of Christ. Producing fruit is what a disciple of Christ does as part of their calling. God has called us out of this world to understand his plan of salvation, to understand the truth, to understand the truth about the Sabbath day, the holy day, so much that he's opened our minds to. And Christ has also commissioned us to bear fruit as part of our calling. It's part of our calling to grow in character, to make spiritual progress. And this subject is so very important as we go forward from Pentecost, which we recently observed last month, and go and continue on throughout our lives throughout the rest of the year. Pentecost was the day when the Holy Spirit came to the church. And by means of the Holy Spirit, disciples can bear fruit. By means of the Holy Spirit, we can bear fruit by means of Christ living in us. Let's notice now how important Christ emphasized the importance for disciples to bear fruit. We've read just a couple of scriptures. Let's read some more. Let's back up to verse number 1 of chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse number 1, Christ says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And then in verse number 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now notice Christ says here, I am the vine. Of course, he was referring to, in a figurative form, of a grape vine that the disciples would have been very, very familiar with in the first century AD, because Palestine was a land of grape vineyards. That's what many of them did to make their living. They worked and lived in the vineyards. He says, I am the vine. And he also says, my Father is the vine dresser, because the Father takes care of everything related to the vineyard. And then he says here in verse number 2, the first part, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. The branch that he's referring to in the first part of verse number 2, he's referring to disciples. So we've established here that the Father is the vine dresser, Christ is the vine, and disciples are the branches. But there's a warning here in the first part of verse number 2. Every branch, disciples, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. A very clear warning that he makes. Continuing on, the last part of verse number 2. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Why does the branch get pruned? That it may bear more fruit. So Christ is saying here that branches, disciples, get pruned. And the reason they get pruned is to bear more fruit. Now, any of you that have worked with grapevines or like Lydia does with her blueberry bushes, she gets out there in the fall and the spring and she's clipping, clip, 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 clip. I'll watch her out there for an hour or two, just clipping on those branches. And I think, well, she's just burning them down to nothing. But come springtime and they just flourish with flowers and blueberries. We've already picked 40 pounds in just a couple of weeks of blueberries. Because of the pruning process, it bears more fruit. And Christ's point here is that disciples, branches, the disciples who are branches, they get pruned. And what's the pruning? The trials, the things that we go through, problems that we have to deal with. We get pruned. But the reason we go through these things is to bear more fruit. Very important principle. Continuing on, verse number 3. You are already clean, you disciples, branches, because of the word which I have spoken to you. God's word is involved here because Christ cleanses the disciples through his words. The word of God cleanses us. Verse number 4, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. If we want to bear fruit, we've got to be attached to the vine, Jesus Christ. And that this word here, abide here, our English word, abide, comes from a Greek word which means to continue or persevere in believing. Continue or persevere in believing in Jesus Christ and following Christ. Enduring in faith in Christ till the end. And keeping contact with Christ. Continuing on, we do have to abide in Christ to bear fruit. Verse number 5, I am the vine, repeats it a second time. And you are the branches. You disciples are branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And then he gives another warning. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. A branch out of contact with the vine is lifeless. And a disciple out of contact with Christ is spiritually lifeless as well. But he says here in verse number 5, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit as a result of contact with him. Now again, when he's talking about fruit here, bearing much fruit, he's not talking about literal fruit. Not talking about blueberries, apples, oranges. He's talking about spiritual fruit, or what we would call a metaphorical term here. This is a metaphorical expression rather than that of literal fruit. And metaphorically, when he's talking about bearing much fruit, he's talking about our works, our deeds, bearing spiritual fruit, progress, spiritually speaking. I like Vine's dictionary. The comment about fruit here, Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words, about our English word fruit, it says, fruit being the visible expression of power working inwardly and invisibly. Let me repeat that. Fruit being the visible expression of power working inwardly and invisibly. So when we're talking about fruit, bearing fruit, we're talking about power working inside of a person. Power that emanates from the Holy Spirit working inside of a person. Very, very important. Now, when I think of power, you know, there's a lot of things that you might think about. Maybe a big engine, one of those engines from the 60s and the 70s, those cars, those muscle cars that had, you know, race down the road, power working. You might think of maybe a plant that has energy, nuclear power, that kind of thing. I think when I read this of a tower crane, because I used to work with a company that installed big windows on the outside of buildings. Curtain walls is what we called them. And these big tower cranes would be connected to the side of a building. And they could virtually reach down to a truck way down below and pick up a crate of windows of glass that weighed thousands and thousands of tons of glass within these boxes. And I could be standing on whatever floor of the building it might be, the second floor, the third floor, the fifth floor, and I'd point down to a certain spot, and that tower crane operator would put it right on a dime where I had pointed my finger. All that weight from down below. That's power working. That's physical power. But we're talking about spiritual power. God's Holy Spirit working within us to make changes in our lives. Spiritual growth. Back to the definition from vines. Fruit being the visible expression of power working inwardly and invisibly. The character of the fruit being evidence of the character of the power producing it. The character of the fruit. That's our character. Being the evidence of the power working inside of us, the Holy Spirit. Character being produced by the Holy Spirit. In other words, power coming from another source. That of Christ living in us. And it begins to be evidenced in our lives. We talk about power working inside of a person, inside. But we can see the evidence of it on the outside of the person. Examples of what you can see in the person, a repentant attitude. When we make mistakes and we come before God in repentance, admitting that we have made a mistake and we want to get right with Him and make changes. Overcoming problems or habits. Attitude of service and love to others. Changes on the outside that are being worked on in the inside. God working in us by means of the Holy Spirit. Christ living in us. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1. This is one of our songs in our hymnal. In fact, it's page number 1 in our hymnal. I think you know it well, all of you that have been around for many, many years. You can probably sing this particular song by heart. But it's so very, very important, especially these first few verses here in Psalm chapter 1. When we talk about the evidence of power working in a person. Psalm chapter 1 and verse number 1. Verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is one that is not going the way of the world in going away from God. Verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Then verse number 3 gives us the results, the spiritual results of the person that is walking with God. Verse number 3, and we read here, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This is talking about a tree here, figuratively, but figurative of a person who's walking with God and obeying God. And what are the results? Spiritual results, planted by the rivers of the water. And we know in the scriptures that water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So this particular individual that's walking with God, a disciple, planted by the river, is taking in the Holy Spirit so that growth can be made. More results brings forth fruit in its season. And that's what we want to be doing as disciples. Also, whose leaf also shall not wither. You don't wither, spiritually speaking, when the Holy Spirit is working with you and you're growing and going forward. And whatever he does shall prosper, spiritually speaking. Planted by the rivers of water, a tree soaks up water and produces fruit. And a disciple following God soaks up the Holy Spirit and bears much fruit. We soak up the Holy Spirit, symbolized by water. We make changes and grow and are productive to God. And that's what we want to be doing. That's our commission. Colossians chapter 1, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the brethren in the church of Colossae. And Paul was, in this section of Scripture, he's commending the brethren for their faith and for their love. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 9 and 10. And again, Paul is commending the brethren here for faith and love, their works that they were doing. Then we come across verse number 9 of Colossians 1, and he says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it of their faith and love, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Praying for the brethren that they may be filled with knowledge of God's will in wisdom and spiritual understanding. But there's more in verse number 10. "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him." And how? "Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Fully pleasing him, walking worthy of the Lord by being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, a tree that produces fruit gets its strength from the water. And we get our strength from the Holy Spirit and Christ living in us. So let's examine now, as we go forward in this sermon, three keys to producing fruit as a disciple of Christ. Three keys to producing fruit as a disciple of Christ, so that we can go forward in a productive, spiritually productive manner for God throughout the year. Number one, the first key to producing fruit as a disciple of Christ, and we read it here in the last part of verse number 10, where it says, "increasing in the knowledge of God." The first key is, sow on the good ground of God's word. Let me repeat that. Sow on the good ground of God's word. Or as Paul puts it here, increasing in the knowledge of God by means of God's word. God's word, the Ten Commandments, they're good ground. Our world today, our society today, is abandoning God's word. And the Ten Commandments, which is the reason why we see society the way it is today. But God's word is good ground. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Paul's said to be fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. In Mark chapter 4, this is Mark's account of the parable of the sower and the seed. And I know all of you are familiar with this particular parable. Christ is giving the parable of the sower who is sowing seed, which is symbolic of the gospel message being preached to the world. And he talks about the different ground that the gospel message or the seed falls upon. And the results of what happens from the people that hear the gospel message. So I want to pick it up in Mark chapter 4, verse number 13. Because this is the explanation of the parable of the sower and the seed. And the results of the gospel message being sown. And the different reactions that happen. Verse 13, "And he said to them," the disciples, "do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" We get to the explanation beginning in verse number 14. The sower sows the word. And the word is the gospel message. The gospel of the kingdom of God being preached to the world. Then as we come to verse number 15, we get the responses of different groups of individuals to that message being sown. Verse 15. "And these are the ones by the wayside, by the wayside of the road, if you can picture a road where it's kind of hard and dull there, where the word is sown, the gospel message. When they hear, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So, root didn't take place. Gospel message didn't sink in. Satan comes along and they're taken away. That's the response of this group of people. Verse 16, here's another group. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. So, gospel message is being sown, pictured as being sown on stony ground here. Verse 17, continuing on. And they have no root in themselves. Roots don't get established, don't begin to flourish and grow. They have no root in themselves. And so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So this is another group of individuals who have heard the word, the gospel message, and their particular reaction as they are sown in stony ground, they don't take root. Tribulation comes along, and they fall away. They stumble. Another group of individuals in verse 18 and 19. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, the gospel message. In verse 19, in the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, enter in, choke the word, and what happens? And becomes unfruitful. Ones that are sown among thorns, they hear the word, being pictured as sown among thorns, which are the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, desire for other things, chokes the word, and they don't bear any fruit. Then we come to verse number 20. And here's where we want to be as disciples. Verse 20, this group, these are the ones sown on good ground, who hear the word, the gospel message, the good news of the kingdom of God, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. The good ground is the only soil that produces good fruit. And the good ground here is symbolic of God's Word, the Ten Commandments, the Scriptures that we have in front of us. And ones that are sown on that, disciples who are sown on the good ground, they bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. That's power working inside of those disciples, which is evidenced in their lives. Growth is being made, spiritual growth. And that's where we want to be. Sown on the good ground of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. And we'll pick it up in verse number 3. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse number 3. The first part, a man is not established by wickedness, in the last part of verse number 3, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. The root of the righteous cannot be moved. Now, if any of you have ever tried to dig up a root from a tree, you know how hard it is. A couple of years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago, we had an apple tree that was producing a lot of good fruit, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, it died. And it wasn't a huge, huge tree, but we decided to cut it down and plant another. Well, after we cut down the tree, we had to dig up the root. And boy, was that a job. We had to work and work and work getting that root up. And it wasn't a terribly big tree. Huge, huge trees, you might as well forget it. You can't do it with a pick and shovel. You're going to have some kind of machine to get that root out of there. Roots are not easily moved. And the thought of this particular proverb here is the root of the righteous cannot be moved. And what is righteousness? Psalm 119, verse 172. All your commandments are righteousness. One that's rooted, grounded in God's word and his commandments cannot be moved, spiritually speaking. Stand sure. as the image of the tree, with roots deep into the good ground of God's word. Verse number 12. The wicked covet the catch of evil man, but the root of the righteous does what? Yields fruit. Yields fruit. The root of the righteous. And that's what we want to be, with roots deep into the good ground of God's word. Proverbs 11, verse 30, just on the same page. It's in the same page of my Bible. Verse number 30 of chapter 11. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The National Study Bible, the comment about verse number 30 says, righteousness and wisdom are ways of recovering the lost tree of life. Because living God's way of life and applying the commandments in our lives is a way of gaining back what Adam and Eve lost at the beginning by means of their sin. And we are productive for God in the kingdom. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. But we must be firmly grounded in the teachings of the Bible. Our roots must be deep. In that way, we can produce fruit as a disciple of Christ, sowing on the good ground of God's word. Number two, the second key to producing fruit as a disciple of Christ, we've already talked about that, but we're going to emphasize it now. A close relationship with Jesus Christ. Second key to producing fruit is a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Or as the Bible puts it, being attached to the vine. Let's go back to John chapter 15. We're going to read what we previously read. It's so, so very important in this particular topic of bearing fruit, which is our commission. John chapter 15. And let's read verse number 5 again. This is one of the most powerful statements of being a disciple. John chapter 15 and verse number 5. Again, Christ talking to the disciples personally and talking to us as disciples personally. Verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, building that relationship with Jesus Christ, continuing to build that relationship. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without Christ, without building that relationship, we cannot produce and bear fruit. So we must be continuing to build that relationship with Christ. Power working in our lives has to come from a relationship with Christ. Power working inwardly and invisibly, and with the Holy Spirit's help. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And we'll begin reading in verse number 7. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse number 7, this particular scripture that we're going to read, written by Jeremiah, starts with the word blessed, similar to what we read in the Psalm, chapter 1 and verse number 1. Jeremiah 17, verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, that relationship that has been built, that you have that confidence and trust in God, in Christ. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. And what will be the results of trusting in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, that relationship being built? Here's the results in verse number 8. For he shall be like a tree. Tree symbolic of a disciple, one who's following God. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Water symbolic of the Holy Spirit, which spreads out its roots by the river to take in more of that water so growth can take place. And will not fear when heat comes. What is heat symbolized of here? Trials, problems, things that come along that can interfere in our lives. Will not fear when heat comes. And its leaf will be green, flourishing, spiritually speaking. and will not be anxious in the year of drought. And notice this, nor will cease from yielding fruit. That's what happens when we build that relationship with the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. We'll be like a tree planted by the waters, spreading out its roots, taking in that water. Spiritual growth that takes place. Verse number 12. Verse number 9, excuse me, we'll continue on here in verse number 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And God says this in verse number 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. According to the fruit of his doings. And if Christ is living in us, then our fruit will be productive. We will be bearing fruit. Luke chapter 6. Again, the second key to bearing fruit is a relationship established and built with Jesus Christ, attached to the vine. Luke chapter 6. And we'll begin reading in verse number 43. In this section of Scripture in Luke 6, previously, Christ was talking about judging others, which is something that, humanly speaking, we tend to do. And he's talking about judging others. And then we come down to verse number 43 of Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse number 43. He says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit. Again, tree, symbolic of a disciple, one who's following God. A good tree does not bear bad fruit. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Verse 44. For every tree, disciples, is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. Every tree is known by its fruit. How are we known? How is our fruit being produced? Verse number 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. The Nelson Study Bible adds this. Actions, not words, indicate where one's heart is. Our actions, the things that we do, the fruit that is produced, the power working in our lives, the evidence. Actions, the outward evidence of Christ living in us, being productive and growing. And if Christ is living in us, if we're building that relationship, we are attached to the vine, we're getting that spiritual nourishment, and we continue to grow and bear fruit. Key number 3, the third key to produce bearing fruit as a disciple, bearing fruits of repentance. Bearing fruits of repentance. Talking about going forward and making changes in our character and being what the Bible calls overcomers. Overcoming and walking with Christ. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. This is the section of Scripture that describes John the Baptist coming on the scene, preaching the gospel message, paving the way for Jesus Christ. And he talks about the fruits of repentance in this section of Scripture, which is a key to bearing fruit. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 1. Verse 1, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And then we get in verse number 2, the message that he was preaching. And saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is at hand. So his message was one of repentance, John the Baptist. Then we come to the scripture that's quoted from Isaiah, verse number 3, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, and make his path straight. As John the Baptist was preparing the way and preaching the message of repentance. Verse 4, now John, there's a description of John. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Verse 5, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him. That's just a general description of many, many people coming to John the Baptist here. Jerusalem, all Judea, all the region around the Jordan came to him. Verse 6, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. In other words, they were repenting. They were wanting to be baptized and repenting and confessing their sins to God. And John the Baptist was baptizing them. Then we come to verse number 7, but then he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, and he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, he said, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Okay? He lambasted the Pharisees and Sadducees here, called them a brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. And he did that because they thought they were special. Well, we're Abraham's descendants, so we're special. We're a special lot and a special people, and they should have special privileges. But John is showing them that's not enough. There needs to be changes in your lives. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Verse number 9, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you, God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. So he's saying here, he's explaining that they thought that they were special, privileged. You know, it'd be like us saying today, well, I've been called out, so I'm special. But not making any changes in my life. That's what he was running across here. But he says, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Fruit is power working. And repentance is power working in an individual's life. Repentance is something that each and every one of us, as disciples, have to have part of our being and part of what we do. Repentance signifies to change one's mind and purpose, a change for the better, and repentance from sin. But then, in verse number 10, we see John the Baptist giving a warning here in verse number 10. And he says this, and even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Okay, we've been talking about trees representing disciples. And he says, an axe can even be laid to the root of the trees. And then the admonition, the last part of verse 10. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. A very stern warning on the behalf of John the Baptist. Does not bear fruit and is cut down. It's so important for disciples to be bearing fruit. And as John puts it here, bearing fruits worthy of repentance. Actually making changes in our lives. Luke chapter 13, we're winding down here now. Luke chapter 13. This is the parable of the barren fig tree. We've got three fig trees in our backyard. And for whatever reason this year, I guess because of all the rain we had in May, they are flourishing. We've got figs all over these trees. And when it comes harvest time, we're going to be taking in a lot of figs. We don't have any barren fig trees physically. It's a great thing. We'll see how the harvest goes. Luke chapter 13. Again, this is the parable of the barren fig tree. Beginning in verse number 6. Luke 13, verse 6. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And that'd be frustrating. You know, especially if you like figs, to go out and you're going to this tree. Boy, I'm looking forward to harvesting some figs, but it's barren. There's none. Frustration. Verse 7. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this tree, and find none. Not just 1 year or 2 years, but 3 years it's barren. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? That's what he told the keeper of the vineyard. But notice the answer in verse number 8. But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. Be patient. I'll dig around, put some fertilizer around it, and we'll see what happens then in time." Verse number 9. "And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." So this particular individual came seeking fruit, found none. It was not producing fruit. This is symbolically speaking of a disciple who's not rooted in God's word, not establishing a close relationship with Christ, not repenting, not making any changes in his life. But then we come to verse number 8. And patience is the order here. Dig around it and fertilize, giving this tree that had been unproductive another chance, symbolizing for a disciple working with the disciple, because God gives us the chance to grow. And he's very merciful. But in verse number 9, if after given another chance it does not produce fruit, cut it down. A warning that we cannot afford to be non-productive. We must be bearing fruit in our lives. And we can ask God. We can ask God to help us to bear more fruit in our prayers as we come before him. And we have help by means of the Holy Spirit working with us. How great is that? It's wonderful to have that knowledge that God has given to us. Finally, let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And we'll read verse number 7. This is a message to the church of the first century AD, to the church of Ephesus, but also a message to all the churches down throughout the ages. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 7. Again, spoken to the church of Ephesus, but all the churches throughout the ages, including us. Revelation 2, verse 7. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes," one who's overcoming, making those changes in their lives, coming before God in with true fruits of repentance. "To him who overcomes, I will give to him to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Eating of the tree of life is a promise. It's a promise of renewing the relationship that had been lost by Adam and Eve at the very beginning. And we have access to that tree of life if we're following God, producing and bearing fruit in our lives by the means that we've talked about today. Those who exercise growth in their lives, remaining faithful and overcoming, who are overcomers, will partake of the tree of life, become part of the family of God in the kingdom of God, living forever. It's a most wonderful blessing from God to have that relationship, to build that relationship. And it gives us even more motivation to want to bear fruit in our lives. So let's focus on that goal as we go forward now. And let's strive and strive hard to bear fruits, to bear fruit as disciples of Jesus Christ. I hope you all have a good rest of your Sabbath and a good 4th of July holiday weekend.